This is the CPC Podcast, episode 22 for December 23rd, 2018. The Muck and Majesty of Christmas. This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. This week on the show, Reverend Timothy Reeves provides a shortened sermon due to the fact that the Central Church Choir presented their Christmas cantata this week in the fullness of time. In church news this week, our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service will take place tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 p.m. Please note the early start time if you plan on attending. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search for Central Pres PB. But for now, let's go ahead and turn it over to Reverend Timothy Reeves.
But when the fullness of time had come, writes Paul, what was it about that particular period of history that led the sovereign of heaven and earth to, as the gospel according to John so eloquently put it, become flesh and live among us? Was the oppression under the Romans any greater than that under the Greeks or the Persians or the Babylonians or the Egyptians before them? Was human sinfulness any greater at that time than it had been when the waters of the great flood wiped all life off the face of the earth, save those who were in the ark? Was the human need for salvation any greater than just moments after Adam and Eve had partaken of their hellish feast? Was poverty more prevalent? Was the sting of injustice more keenly felt? Was the hopelessness wrought by grief, death, or shame suddenly more widespread? What was it that signaled that the fullness of time had come? What led God to peel back the veil of mystery in order to reveal to humanity a majesty only briefly glimpsed or hinted at in the past? The truth of the matter is that we may never know why God chose that particular time in history. But that doesn't stop me from speculating. And for me, the answer to that question, I believe, is the same as the answer to this question. What is it that makes God come to us in our lives today? That answer, at least in my estimation, is the boundless, uncontrollable, unconditional love of God. No doubt that love of God was on display fully throughout all human history. So I don't mean to imply that in any way God only chose to show that love in the fullness of time. In like manner, we have all experienced those moments of profound grace, of truth, of love and peace, which have most often come when we least expected them, but most definitely needed them the most. But I believe that the purest, most complete expression of that love of God was in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God looked at the heights of human joy and the depths of human despair, and every moment in between, and said, I want to know what that is like. I want to know how those joys and sorrows feel. I want to know what it is to experience temptation, hunger, thirst, fear, grief, loneliness, and pain. I want to know what it is to laugh and rejoice, to share a gentle smile or kind word, or to know the touch of another's hand. And so Paul tells us that when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman. And therein, in that one single verse, I believe we discover what I refer to as the muck and majesty of Christmas. We have, over the years, so sanitized the Christmas story that we are likely scandalized to think about the muck of Christmas at all. But remember, Jesus was born in a stable and placed in a manger, a feed trough. We sterilize the image in 1,000 different Christmas carols and cards, but anyone who has ever stood in or passed by a barn knows that that is not a smell that is easily forgotten. By the way, Jesus may be the only person ever on earth when Mary asked him, I'm sure after leaving a door open, what, Jesus, were you born in a barn? That he could actually say, yes, Mom, yes, I was. We tend to forget that that stable was the place of last resort. That no loving parent would ever choose as a first place a dirty, smelly place to bring a new life into the world unless there were absolutely, positively no other options available. We sing, the cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Forgetting that more often than not, when a baby awakes, they want anyone and everyone within earshot to be awake too, and will scream at the top of their lungs to ensure just that. I mean, are we really meant to believe that Mary and Joseph never had a sleepless night? And then there were those shepherds who came visiting. Far from the images of little children and dad's bathrobes from Christmas pageants long past, these would have been hardened men, jaded men, men not usually known to associate with others, and therefore often viewed with distrust and suspicion. These would be the people we would try with all our might to keep far, far away from a newborn baby. But there they stood, no doubt expressing their surprise and joy in a vernacular that I'm quite sure would make even some sailors blush. But the muck doesn't begin or end in that stall. We're talking about the one, the very one, who did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, as Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. He left the glory of heaven, where there is no such thing as pain or hunger or fear or loneliness or death. He left the realm where there is absolutely nothing accursed to be found and entered a world where we often strive and strain and search high and low to find anything that is not accursed. Our Lord became fully human, and in so doing subjected himself to the same fate and fear and frailty that are part and parcel of human existence. And lest any of us ever forget what that truly meant, let's all remember how hard a time sometimes we have of just making it through the next day or the next moment. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman. Truly, without this muck of Christmas, there can be no majesty. Why else would angels sing at his birth? Luke tells us it was to announce the good news to a sinful and broken humanity that a Savior had been born in the city of David. We are told in the beloved Christmas story that Mary treasured the things that the shepherds had told her in her heart. And I wonder if maybe she didn't tell those things to Jesus as he grew. Because we learn in Luke's gospel as well that Jesus says there is more rejoicing in heaven over a sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Christ the Savior is born. We will sing tomorrow as we light our candles. A world in desperate need of salvation meets its Savior on Christmas. And where once there was only darkness, we see a light that darkness cannot ever overcome. So there is majesty to this moment. And it is that God chooses to enter into every broken aspect of our lives and to know intimately what that brokenness feels like. And then to offer wholeness and peace in ways that only God can. God looks at the lowest of the low, the poorest of the poor, the most broken among any of us, and says, I know exactly what you're going through. I've been there. Born in a stable. Placed in a manger, abandoned by friends, denied by ones I loved, nailed to a cross and left to die. I know your pain. I know your brokenness. By entering the muck that defines so much of our own lives, God instills all of life with a majesty that says in words loud and clear, here in this place among these people is where I want to be. And God's presence lends a majesty to our existence, exalting each one of us and equipping us in turn to exalt one another. How shall we do that? Well, the answer really is as old as faith itself. We do so by seeking justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with our God. We do so when we feed the hungry and clothe the naked and visit the lonely or imprisoned, when we love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We do it by giving those who want our shirt our cloak as well. We do it by turning the other cheek. We do it by abandoning the petty tribalism that marks so much of our lives these days in this country and remembering that we are all, each and every one of us, created in God's image and that we all bear the imprint of His grace and that we are all equally and fully valued by the one who looked upon this creation after making human beings and announced it was very good. In the fullness of time, God came to our muck to reveal a majesty Merry Christmas. And to God be all the honor, glory, and praise forever. Amen.
Thanks again to Reverend Timothy Reeves for the excellent sermon this week. If you enjoyed what you heard today, take a minute to subscribe. We're in the Google Play Store, we're on Apple Podcasts, and we're also on the Stitcher app. And if you have the time, go ahead and leave us a review. It helps people find the podcast. Our theme music is brought to you by Excel Music Publishing, who can be found at www.freemusicpublicdomain.com. That'll do it for this week's episode. I'm your host, Zach Cosner, and I hope you have a great week. See you next time.